نبيه وخليله وحبيبه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صدق الله العظيم. We begin by the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we show our helplessness and shortcoming that we cannot imagine about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People will see Him in Jannah. They will have mushahida according to their own level. But here, now the closest we can imagine is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of Allah Azza wa Jal. So one wants to seek help. Think about Allah Azza wa Jal's sifat or the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, I mentioned some etiquettes yesterday as well. If someone is overwhelmed by sleep, so instead of sleeping and snoring and disturbing others, they should go upstairs and sleep. Because the shaitan is so shrewd and so sharp, he deceives the very awake people. He deceives the very awake people. And if a person is half asleep, half awake, that person can get the wrong message. He can make him listen what really would not benefit, but miss the important point, and something else will just settle in that person's mind. So one thing is that, and I also mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the Sahaba Rizwanun alayhim ajma'in that if any one of you is overwhelmed by sleep when reciting Quran, reciting or offering prayers, they should abandon it for temporarily and just go and sleep. And it's no easy thing than that. The difficult thing is that you put yourself in difficulty and don't receive guidance, and also others. And what others should do in the majalis of dhikr and nasiha, if anyone does fall asleep, the person next to them gently should touch them. And when they are touched, they shouldn't for a few seconds open eyes and then go again. They should assess themselves that will we be able to stay awake or not. If answer is yes, then okay, that's fine, they should remain sitting. If answer is no, they should quietly go and perform wudu and go to sleep in the sunnah way. 20 minutes, half an hour, how much ever, and they feel fresh. And the other thing, I would also be asking questions to you that you are understanding, because the purpose of this gathering is not giving you knowledge. Or it's not a lecture as such. If you understood by silence, I would remain silent. The words are not the purpose. Many of the sayings of Rasulullah ﷺ, which are not even hadith-e-qudsi, the most ahadith, especially the hadith-e-qudsi, they would be revealed on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the meaning of them. And Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would give words to it. So the real purpose is conveying the actual meaning. The words are just a means to get that meaning. If we will only hear and hear and make this our purpose, we have wronged ourselves. We have been mistaken. We won't get closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you be attentive, and inshallah, if I do ask, and I'll ask one of the brothers, Usman or so, to make 5 questions of every session as well, so that we can ask you next day. Because as I say, that this is to learn the path to Allah, to how to bring other people and initiate other people. And the first one is yourself, the soul sitting in you. The soul which is sitting in you, and that has the most right. As the closest person has the most right, even giving wealth, you firstly give to your family, your parents. Hidayah also, of the right of Hidayah also firstly belongs to yourself. Qu anfusakum. That is one thing. It has the right, and plus the reason is that if it is not given its right, and you will utilize your soul to deliver guidance, that will cause more fitna, more destruction. In the companions' time, there were not many people doing bayanat and holding conferences. Because all the time they were engaged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remembrance, and they would be in the remembrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the form of sunnah. But after more and more ghafla and heedlessness came, as time passed, centuries passed, people needed reminding. But once you have been given the reminder, then you should go along that path. You want to go to Manchester from here, once you are told this is one road and that goes to a motorway, and then you come off this exit, and then you are still standing there. You are still standing there, you are not going to get anywhere. What do you want to hear more? The person have told you the roads which you need to be on, the motorway which you need to be on, and you have a car, and now just drive. But some people are just standing there, they want to listen more. They listen until day of judgment, they are not going to reach somewhere. So as soon as a person thinks that one have sufficient guidance to act upon something, they should actually carry on. Brother, if you can put this file just here, because the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is written, so I feel this comfortable. Inshallah, after you can get myself. Yesterday, I will just very briefly summarize that the beginning point should be right of the person. When we begin to give dawah to ourselves, to others, we begin from the wrong point. We just go and just say to the person, thinking that we have something in our hand and within our power, while we do not. And I mentioned very briefly that what we have in our power. Allah Azza wa Jalla said that I teach you the question, this is the summary, I teach you the question, اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, and I'll give you the answer which starts from rather سِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ, and specifically from أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ. And then he said that what is Sirat-e-Mustaqim? Christian, Jewish people, many groups amongst Muslims, who are not on the right path as such, but they say we also are on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. How are we going to judge who is Sirat-e-Mustaqim, the straight path, is right? Allah Azza wa Jalla defined it in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى سِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So as I gave you the example, that because I help the poor, even though I do not pray, I inshallah still going to reach Allah. This is my Sirat-e-Mustaqim. I am working and helping my family, and I intend that I will reach salvation on that basis. That is my concept of Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Some person might say, I just pray. Like last time, last night we were discussing, some person might say that I have a good aqeedah and I pray 5 times and that is sufficient. And this is your concept of Sirat-e-Mustaqim. But so everyone can have different concept of Sirat-e-Mustaqim. The title is Sirat-e-Mustaqim, but which Sirat-e-Mustaqim, what is Sirat-e-Mustaqim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I won't accept any concept of Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa innaka, verily you and really only you now. Wa innaka latahdi, you guide towards Sirat-e-Mustaqim only. You have the authority only. So any concept Sirat-e-Mustaqim coming other than from the teaching or clashing with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, full concept of Sirat-e-Mustaqim, that person will have partial concept, or if it is clashing, it is completely opposite. As I said, nowadays many people themselves, they call Sufiya, that we are Sufis, and what they have come to the conclusion is that all religions are one, and we are spiritual beings, we will be enlightened, and they are coming together and doing dhikr and other things, and not even praying, not acting upon Sharia, not even eating halal. They might go into McDonald's and eat whatever they want. That is their concept. But properly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am not going to accept this. Because one is Islam itself and one is Sirat-e-Mustaqim, the path which leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, مَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. I'm not going to accept any deen other than Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is not going to accept any other path of meaning Sirat-e-Mustaqim other than the path of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jalla said very clearly, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَهُ. This is the path of Allah. Tariqa Muhammadiyya, Sirat-e Muhammadiyya, Sunnah of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only on that path, on that road, you are going to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's only on that path you are going to meet in the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we also mentioned this. And other thing we should mention, that we cannot guide ourselves or we can't guide others. We can't guide ourselves and we can't guide others. Because guidance is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say very often, Ya Musarrif al Qulub, Sarrif Qulubana ala Ta'atik. That, O alterer, changer of heart, Sarrif Qulubana, turn our hearts towards your obedience. Ya Muqallib al Qulub, ثبت قلوبنا على دينه. the one who establishes the hearts, establish our heart, make it sound and well grounded on the deen. Because that is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we have in our power, I said to develop the want, develop the desire, develop the desire and develop the thirst. The thirst is the price of hidayah. So I cannot give hidayah to my family, to other people. Even to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, innaka la tahdi man ahbabt, walakin Allah yahdi man yasha. That Allah gives guidance to whomever He wills or who wants guidance. So we don't have that power to give guidance to ourselves, but we can develop the thirst of guidance in ourselves. We can develop the want of guidance in ourselves. And when we have that, we will receive guidance. And if the same thing we can develop in other people, they will also receive guidance. Talab is the shart of guidance. Talab, the want, is the condition of guidance. So when we become agitated, so please, brothers, listen very attentively, and as I have said that if anyone falls light sleep, they should go and sleep. And inshallah they should actually benefit more. Or they have, because this is, you, otherwise you are not going to understand this at all. And inshallah they can benefit more. Because I want you to be awake. If you are awake when it's receiving instruction, how can I expect that you are going to deliver this to other people? You are going to deliver corrupted instructions. And they will go to destruction, and you will also cause, because actually this is important. And because the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sharia does not charge you more than what you are able to do, so simple matter. If you are not able, mashallah, you forget, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you. If you cannot do something, you can just actually pray sitting. If you cannot pray sitting, you pray lying down. There is no compulsion. And I don't like speaking. Personally, I don't like speaking. I am not the person of speech at all. I do it because it has to be done. It is something have to be delivered. It is a responsibility. And because why I am saying this? Because this is going to show very on the basic level that the talab and the want is not fully in the person to even learn the path. And that is the condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to benefit people through, when they will have want, when they will have the desired thirst. So that very thing which I am teaching, if you don't even have it here, you won't be able to benefit. And it will be better we do some kind of other worship. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recite Quran, and actually do other things. So, I was saying that actually this price of guidance is the talab, the want, the true want. So if you can build that in yourself, alhamdulillah, you will get guidance one day definitely. And you can develop, how you are going to develop that, we are going to discuss these matters. Because how to develop the thirst and want in people and in you, there should be a methodology for that. So we are going to discuss that as well. But initially, we begin from here. as I mentioned yesterday, to pray two rakat Salatul Haja. That we can do or not. Haja means need. And what is greater need than to receive guidance from Allah? To be guided. I will do Salatul Haja because I don't have a son. My business is not running very well. My health is not very well. I can do Salatul Haja for that. It is good. But one should also think that my greatest need is Allah Himself. Har banda kehta hai, meri zarurat hai, biwi meri zarurat hai, khana meri zarurat hai, peena meri zarurat hai. Sabse badi zarurat insaan ki Allah ki zaat hai. Without Him, uske bagair guzara nahi. Without everything you can actually exist and you can actually go on existing and you can still achieve salvation. Food is your need, sleep is your need, going to toilet is your need. Children, house is your need. But what is your greatest need? Sabse badi zarurat kya hai, banda kahe mere uske bagair guzara nahi ho sakta ji, khane ke bagair, kaam karne ke bagair, without working, without employment. To ye samjhe ke auliya Allah farmate hain ki sabse badi zarurat tumhari Allah hai. Your greatest need is Allah, because Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah said that if you found Allah, you found everything. Because He can compensate everything to you. He can make millions, the women you wanted to marry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make millions of women like that, more even beautiful. If you are suffering any other matter, Allah can compensate you. In akhirah and in dunya as well. But He said that if you lost the relationship with Allah, He actually said that Allah Himself says this to Bani Adam. He said, it's one of the books. فرمایا ایک اسمانی کتاب میں ہے کہ اللہ نے فرمایا اے بنی آدم اگر تُو نے مجھے پا لیا تو سب کچھ پا لیا اور اگر تُم نے مجھے کھو دیا تو سب کچھ کھو دیا. Because if all things get together and you don't have Allah with you, you don't have relation, your relationship. When I say you don't have Allah, meaning that you don't have the bond of friendship, bond of pleasure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you've lost everything. All angels and all people and jinnat and entire creation gets together, it cannot compensate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not compensate the lost relationship with Allah azza wa jal. Because they can't create another God. They can't force Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something. The women of the world, the presidents of the world, the children of the world, the wealth of the world, how will they come, where will they bring Allah from? There's only one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if He Himself actually does not give you His pleasure, then actually you've lost it. So Huzur Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah ne firmaya, that if you found Allah, because He is your greatest need, وہ سب سے بڑی ضرورت ہے آپ کی. بیوی آپ کی ضرورت نہیں ہے, اس گزارا ہو جائے گا. کتنے لوگ ہیں جن کی بیوی نہیں تھی, وہ گزارا ہو گیا. حضرت نظام الدین اولیاء رحمت اللہ علیہ did not marry, he did not find a wife, but he was a great wali as well. Other, some of them they didn't. Having it, it's not a problem. Not having, if a person cannot marry, doesn't have the means, he cannot fulfill this sunnah. It's not incumbent upon him anyway. He can actually live. Wealth, not you are not very rich, you can actually still survive. Health, you can still survive. You don't have beauty so much, you still can live. But your greatest need, which you cannot really do, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person recites, offers Salatul Haja, he should ask Allah Azza wa Jal for guidance, for the talab. Because that is what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught. What is the want of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? Which is the word used to want Allah? یہ کون سا لفظ استعمال ہوتا ہے اللہ کو چاہنے کے لیے؟ کون سا لفظ استعمال ہوتا ہے؟ واٹ از دا ورڈ ٹو وانٹ اللہ؟ دیٹ اللہ از یور نیڈ. ہاؤ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم شوڈ دس ان ون حدیث. پروفٹ علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام سیڈ اللہم انی اسالوک حبک. او اللہ, آئی آسک یور وانٹ اینڈ یور لو. لو از وانٹ. Wanting someone so eagerly, so desperately, that a person cannot do without him. Don't you see, a person falls in love with some women or wealth and they can't do without them. They say, we have everything, but there's no sukoon unless I see the person, unless I get that person. So these things in between have a different status. So Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. I ask Allah from you, your want. So shouldn't me and you also ask? And shouldn't we and you to create this want in person, do things which Rasulullah ﷺ said, that is the path to Allah. We start from the wrong place. We just go to brother, you should come to the deen, you know, there's Jannah, there's actually this is happening, you know. But the Mashayikh and Prophet ﷺ taught to start from the correct beginning point, that is showing your humbleness and seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That guidance and even that want as well. And then Rasulullah ﷺ said, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. وَحُبَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكُ. Then he mentioned the methodology, the way you are going to receive this want. He said, the love of those who love you. You are not in love with Allah, but maybe you'll find a person who is in love with Allah. If you visit him, come close to him, that is one of the means. Because why we are like dogs, not saying to you, I mean myself and people like me actually, like dogs are hampering after dunya, because we've seen other people running after dunya. Because if we even haven't loved dunya, the child is born, doesn't know anything about dunya, but in day and night, he observes in his house his father going to work and his father talking about big cars and big plans. His other things, he sees friends outside wanting different kinds of world. So how people fall into the love of the world? Mostly by sitting with the people who have the love of the world and who actually are going after the world. So then you don't... There is no school which is open to create the love of the world in the person. Have you seen a person who is being trained to actually so that he has the love of the world? No, because actually he was born for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, he has attraction of different things. But one of the ways which people get the love of the world, why everyone is after the world, is because they see and they sit with other people who are after the world. When they see and they sit with them, they also want that. I went to this gathering and they were talking in millions. I lost 1 million, I gained 2 million, I sold that property of 2 million. So that person is going to say, well, I don't have even thousands, I have nothing. So then the want is going to kindle. Yes, I should also become millionaire. Main bhi lakhpati banna hai. Main bhi crorepati banna hai. If you visit people, awliya and salihin, who have the love of Allah and His Messenger and Akhirah, then those things, actually the love of those things is going to come. So if you've not, you don't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks, how to fall in love with Him, find someone who has. And you will also get some of the breeze of that love as well. So Prophet ﷺ taught this dua of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. It was his dua as well. And Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned it. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. I ask, O Allah, from you, your want, so that I only want you. Didn't Rasulullah ﷺ want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That was his greatest love. He said, I have not made anyone. If I took anyone as the best friend, which is in the center of my heart, I would have taken Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Because this was the life, worldly life ending of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, closer to the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when he gave an indication, I am leaving this world, I have chosen to leave, to go with, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the love of Allah. Because Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq said at that time, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you've chosen to go. He did not, out of respect, he did not say, don't go. Because this is respect and honor they had for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huzur Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, main to ja raha hu duniya se, maine yahi ikhtiyar kar liya. Ab wo adab ki wajah se ye to nahi keh sakte ki aap na jaye, aapne jo faisla kiya usko aap na jaye. Don't go. He couldn't say this. But his love forced him to say something. The love which he had, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that forced to say him. He began to weep. And weeping is helplessness. Is the climax of helplessness. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every eye will weep on the day of judgment. Weep. And many of them will weep the tears of blood, except few eyes. And one of it is who have saved his eyes from looking at haram, and the other eyes, who the eye which actually wept in the fear or the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huzur aisa farmate, mujhe Allah paak mujhe rone wali aankhi ata farma. Ye anbiya ke auliya Allah ke hawal hote hain. Sayyidina Isa bin Maryam would mostly smile. And Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam would mostly spend time weeping in front of people everywhere. He was very fearful of Allah. At a very young age, he was fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jab aapki umar 2-4 saal thi, to aap Allah ke khauf se rote itne. بہت زیادہ روتے بڑا خوف اللہ اللہ پانے قرآن جی نے فرمایا کہ وہ من الخاشعین وہ خاشعین لوگوں میں سے تھے. They both met because they were relatives as well by physical nature as well. They both met and devoured both the prophets of Allah. And Hazrat Isa علیہ السلام said, Yahya علیہ السلام said to Isa bin Maryam, his relative and the Prophet of Allah, Rasul of Allah, that, O Isa, O son of Mary, have you forgot about the wrath and the greatness and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you always smiling? And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said that, O Yahya, have you forgot about the mercy that which overwhelms the wrath of Allah? The grace of Allah. And they began to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to decide between them that which is the highest ranking, which is the highest path. So anbiya apas mein guftugu kar rahe hain ki Hazrat Isa alaihi salam poochte hain Yahya alaihi salam se, aap hamesha rote rehte hain to aap Allah ki rahmat se jo hai, rahmat ne kitni bahut badi rahmat hai. Aur Hazrat Yahya عیسیٰ علیہ السلام کو کہتے ہیں کہ آپ مسکراتے رہتے ہیں, آپ اللہ کا غضب, اللہ کا عذاب, اللہ کی بڑائی, اللہ کا خوف, وہ کہاں ہے؟ اللہ پاک نے فرشتہ بھیجا کہ that اللہ سبحانہ تعالیٰ. اب انبیاء میں کوئی معاملہ آپس میں وہ گفتگو کرے تو کون فیصلہ کر سکتا ہے؟ only 2%. One, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is the teacher of Anbiya alayhi salam. Or actually, the teacher of, or even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal sent an angel, and the angel said that Allah is giving this message, because they were both people of wahi and revelation. Allah is saying that what's the state of Yahya alayhi salam, which is weeping, which is crying. That state is good in seclusion, when you are alone, when you are in khalwa, when you are in privacy, when you are in private. When you are alone, that state is more like. Both are good. In public, they are good as well. In public, weeping or smiling, they are both good. They are both good. But we are talking about the highest levels, which is Anbiya al-Islam's ahwal. They are saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the most this state, that when you are in alone, in seclusion and alone, you are weeping and you are crying. And in public, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this state of smiling. So that is why you find our messenger, beloved of Allah, Rasulullah sallam, the Sahaba says that whenever we looked at Rasulullah sallam, mostly he was smiling. And there are times he would also show otherwise, but the dominant condition of his in public was this. What was in the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. What was in, when he was in alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in seclusion, in tahajjud and in the night time, that was a different state. The Sahaba says that such voice, such sound will come like it comes from a boiling pot of water, from the heart, from the chest of Rasulullah sallam, by the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the prayers. So that's their state. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, the angel said that this state is good, most best and ahsan and more akmal in when you are alone, weeping and crying, and when public. But both are good, I am saying. Now don't, that is our mistake. Soon as you've heard this, then you've seen anyone smiling, and brother, why you are smiling? Seen anyone crying, you shouldn't cry. This is state of Anbiya. And they also used to weep and cry in public as well. So a person should not take actually masla and then start applying on people. Yes, I said you apply it on, but apply on yourself. Judge your own nafs, which is in your control. You can make it cry, you can make it weep, you can make it smile. Other people, leave them. They are on their own paths. If they are on the path, they have their own ahwal, they have their own states, they have their own nature. So one should not rush to actually judge people. And especially negative judgment is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna ba'aza zanni ism, they are sin, you fall into sin. But I was saying to you that Rasulullah sallam himself, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, would ask that want, that thirst, the love of Allah, and he mentioned how you can get is وَحُبَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكُ, that the one go towards, sit with the one who love Allah really. Sit with those people. Then Rasulullah said, وَالْعَمَلَ الَّذِي يُبَلِّغُنِي حُبَّكُ. Other methodology is that, O Allah, give me, enable me to do that amal, that practice which will lead to your want, which will lead to your love. We want the want first and amal after. But Rasulullah is saying that the amal, the love of Allah is going to come with a price as well, and that is to practice the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Har banda hai, wo kehta ji, mujhe Huzoor Allah Islam ki mahabbat chahiye. To Huzoor Allah Islam ki mahabbat hasil karne ki qeemat hai. To change the love of Rasulullah sallam, there is a price to pay. You don't want to pay that price, you are not going to get. You just want by saying and it should come in you. If it would have happened like that, then why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prolonged his dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wal amal alladhi yuballighuni hubbak. Though Allah give me your love and the love of those who love you and those amal and deeds which actually lead to your love. So there is a price to pay. And the price to pay is actually to follow, obey that person to the minutest and utmost level. And this is the price. If you pay this, You will get the love. Why Sayyidina Bilal has that love, which other Tabi'een, some other Sahaba maybe they don't have at that level? Because he paid a very high price. He paid his whole life for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they said to leave Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these mushrikeen, they are very illogical and unreasonable people. They would say to Sahaba and torturing them to say bad words about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they would say act against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in spite of heat, in spite of torture, in spite of spears, in spite of thirst, they won't act against Rasulullah's teaching. They say, we will follow what Prophet said. We are not going to leave his sunnah. And one is our time's claimants of love, who is not intentionally following the sunnah when there is no price to even pay for that. And then this person should have love like companions somewhere near. This is person is living in the lands of fools. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives according to the need, the desire, the price which a person has paid. Why every sahabi is not in the status of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala? Just imagine for a while. Hazrat Umar was a companion, Hazrat Usman was a companion, Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala, they are all companions. But why Rasulullah sallam preferring Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala? The reason is the sacrifice, the amal which he did with Prophet ﷺ, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the amal. Because we could see the difference in outwardly. What have you left at home, Abu Bakr? I've left Allah and His Messenger's name. Everything is there. So in return, he will get the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more in his heart. We want the other way. We first want the thing and we say we'll think about the price. You go and pick up a very dear, very expensive car and say that to give me the car and I'll think about how I pay you. Someone will give you? You buy a house and say give me the keys and I will think I can pay you. I know at the moment I'm on a low earning, but I'll see how I pay you. And you think love of Allah and the love of Messenger of Allah is cheap? Is such cheap? There's a price to pay, and the price to pay everyone can pay. Poor can pay, the rich can pay the price. And what is the price? Following and obeying them. If you give this price, in return you get the love. It is not the other way around. The first you have the love and then you will do the amal. No. Then everyone will be claimant of love. There are claimants of love. Empty slogans. Because there is words just to say. So even this want, a difference in want, difference in amal, difference in desire, even determine different status of companions of Rasulullah. Although they were all companions, but there is variance in them because of their different amal, their different one, their different relationship with Rasulullah. All were seeing the same person, Prophet ﷺ. All people, all Sahaba were seeing the same person. There is no difference to Rasulullah. Wo ek hi shakhsiyat ko dekh rahe Hazur Alaihi Salam ko. Lekin farq kahan pad gaya? Where is the difference? Was it that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq Raziyat was seeing a different person? And other Sahaba were seeing different? No, the same person. Yes, Mushrikeen saw a different person. Mushrikeen, they saw a different person. They didn't see Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They see Muhammad bin Abdullah. That's what Hazrat Bayezid Bustami's one disciple said. One person went to visit Sayyidina Bayezid rahmahullah, and soon as he reached there, he found he has died. ایک بندہ حضرت بھائی عزیز بستامی کی زیارت کے لیے گیا, سنا اس نے بہت بڑے بزرگ ہیں, وہاں گیا تو دیکھا, پتا چلا کہ چند دن پہلے, few days back he has passed away. He was very upset. وہ بہت بڑا دکھی ہو گیا کہ بہت پریشان ہوئے. He said to his muridin, usne aapke muridin se kaha ki main unki itni ziyarat kar saka lekin aap unki koi karamat hi bayan kar dein. Mention anything, his life, his karamat, his status, his saying. One of the murid said, who was the khalifa of Sayyidina Bayezid, wo aapke khulafa mein the. So the karamat of my Shaykh Bayezid was that whoever seen him, he attained salvation. Mere Shaykh ki karamat ye thi ki jisne unki ziyarat kar li, wo jannati ho gaya. And that was a strange thing. That person straightforwardly said that Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they did not become people of Jannah. And how is it that Bayezid have this status, that whoever seen Bayezid, that they become righteous people and people of Jannah? There are many people who are living in Bistam, in this city, who are people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can see there are many people who are not praying, who are not on the Sharia, and they must have seen Bayezid. And you are saying that our Shaykh's karamat is that whoever sees him, he becomes people of Jannah. He will become person of salvation. And even people saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they did not become people of Jannah. So he said, brother, those people who you are saying, who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did not see Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not see Muhammadur Rasulullah. They saw Muhammad bin Abdullah. They did not see Muhammad, Rasulullah and Habibullah. And these people who are, you are saying they are not pious in this city, they have not seen Bayezid, the Wali of Allah. They have been seeing Bayezid as a person, as a human being, and as a scholar, as a normal person. They have not seen my Shaykh. My Shaykh's status was that whoever seen him as a Wali and in his real status, that person achieved salvation. Jisne us tarah ziyarat ki, wo pahunch gaya kahin na kahin. Aur ye to Bayezid ek bande ko dekhte rahe, aam insaan ko dekhte rahe, isne Bayezid wali ko nahi dekha. Aur ye Abu Lahab aur Abu Jahl, ye isne Muhammadur Rasulullah ko nahi dekha sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inhone Muhammad bin Abdullah ko dekha sirf. They were limited to a person. To ye فرق ہوتا ہے. So the variance in the companions and the variance in other the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not that they have a difference in Allah. Allah تو ایک ہی ہے, اس کے رسول بھی ایک ہے, محمد رسول اللہ آج قیامت تک. So the difference, جو فرق پڑا وہ پڑا, the difference which happened was actually in between people, and that actually determine their status. And so what I am saying to you, that there is a price to pay, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَحَسِبَ النَّاسَ أَن يُتْرَكُوا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. May Allah pane, حَسِبَ النَّاسَ, that people think, أَن يَقُولَ آمَنَّا, that they will say, we love, we believe in Allah, we believe in the messenger of Allah, that they are just saying we love Allah. Iman is expression of love. When you say I believe in Allah, this love is included in there. You can't believe on something, if you don't have love and honor. There can be difference of degree. Every Muslim loves Allah. Every Muslim loves Rasulullah sallam. But I am talking about the love, so love, much love, that which really makes you a different person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that just by saying that you love and you believe, you will be left, people will be left to it, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, and they won't be put into test, it will never happen. It is, you are bound to be tested before. That's what Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu said. Bilal ne bhi yahi farmaya, that when people said that he was in being tortured continuously and in those days by Abu Jahl and others, and some of the Sahaba would fall, will actually feel pity upon him, and he would say, I am patient. I am patient. Why? Because when we go to the bazaar, jab hum kahi market mein jaate hain, and if we want, in those times people used to sell utensils made of clay, utensils, plates made of clay, pots made of clay. اس وقت لوگ مٹی کے برتن بیچتے تھے. حضرت بلال نے فرمایا تم نے دیکھا نہیں کہ جب تم برتن خریدنے جاتے ہو, when you go to get and buy a pot, at those times they would check that if it, is it really well baked or it is not well baked. تو اس کے چیک کرنے کا طریقہ کیا ہوتا تھا؟ People would go and that's why they are getting a good quality pot or not. There was a way to check. وہ اس کو کھٹکھٹاتے تھے اسے. جب کھٹکھٹاتے تھے تو اس سے پتا چل جاتا. They would actually touch it and knock it few times and they would know how good it is baked. How good, strong this pot of clay is. If it had a different voice, sound, they would consider it's not well baked, it's going to break soon. If it had another sound, they would know it is good, well baked, well made pot of clay. So, is tarah check karte the log, they used to check. So, the Bilal رضی اللہ تعالی said to these companions that Allah is examining me. Allah is testing me because He want to buy me. اللہ میرا امتحان لے رہے ہیں اوپر نیچے کر کے کہ اللہ مجھے خریدنا چاہتے ہیں, اللہ مجھے خریدنا چاہتے ہیں. And he said I consider that Allah has actually bought me. میں سمجھتا ہوں اللہ نے مجھے خرید لیا. And that's why I am going to be put in the test. So being put in the test is a sign that Allah wants that person. So that is why Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said اشد البلاء, the greatest test, the greatest examination, the greatest difficulties which people are put the most, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Anbiya, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Anbiya alayhi salam. Then are those people who are closer to Anbiya. Look at the test of Imam Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala. Can you imagine? Look at the test which he was put through. This shows his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the test of Hazrat Ibrahim. Because normally to us people also we are distracted from Allah azza wa jal for sometime money, family, parents, tribe, children, wife. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is taken, tested through all these things. Because he is Abul Anbiya, he is the, we still follow his millah. Rasulullah said, millata Abi Ibrahim. Millata Abi Ibrahim. We are also in his millah. When he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a beacon of guidance. That look, he was tested through his own family, uncle and family while he was young. He left his family. Then person have wife and wealth, he left wealth as well. When a person have a wife, he left his wife in Makkatul Mukarma in the desert. That's the test. Then a person can fall into love of children and do bad things for them, to earn haram for them, to cover them. Allah Azza wa Jal also tested Hazrat Ibrahim through that. He left his son Ismail and his wife. Hazrat Hajra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Hazrat Ismail, the grand, great grandmother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then even he tested Hazrat Ibrahim by actually offering the slaughter or the sacrifice of Hazrat Ismail. So can you see? So wasn't Allah subhanahu didn't know that Hazrat Ibrahim is a good person? He didn't know he himself has chosen him. He himself has chosen him to be a prophet of Allah. Not a normal prophet of Allah, but the Ulul Azm Rasul. Many of the ulama, they say, we don't actually decide between prophets, but their view is that after Rasulullah SAW, the greatest status goes to Hazrat Ibrahim. He is from the Ulul Azm messenger. Because Rasulullah SAW praised him and his they say the sign is that his teachings and his millah is still continuing, although every prophet's sharia and millah has been cancelled. And properly, Allah SWT even said in the Quran, Millat abikum Ibrahim wa sammakum muslimin. And Rasulullah SAW would offer this dua, Asbahna ala fitrat al-Islam wa ala kalimat al-ikhlas wa ala deen nabiyina Muhammad wa ala millat yabina Ibrahim hanif muslima wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen. This is the dua, masnoon dua in the morning and evening, same dua. Amsayna ala fitrat al-Islam wa ala kalimat al-ikhlas wa ala deen nabiyina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa ala millat yabina Ibrahim. So his millah is continued. They said that this person, this being, this Prophet of Allah is special Prophet of Allah, because his millah is still continuing, is validated, and all other prophets, they are actually not actually continuing as such. All follow his millah, his way, and we can see as well that even Christians, even Jewish people, they also claim actually that he is one of them, and they also claim that they are following. And these faiths are known as Abrahamic faiths. All Islam, the Christianity, the Jewish religion. The one person. So I was saying to you that look at his tests, and then he got the status of Khulla. He became the Khalil of Allah, Khalilullah. Now we want the status of Walayat first. That Allah says this is the wali of the time, and then we will think that we'll follow Sharia or not. We'll follow Sunnah or not. These people, I want ziyarat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first, and then I will go along the path. This is really mentality of kuffar. Mentality of kuffar, those people who came amongst the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, actually of the previous ummas, they mostly asked conditions and things from prophets. Muslim people very seldom, who have become already Muslim, they did not ask. Wo kafir jo log hai, wo kehte the hame, let camel come out of the mountain, let the moon split in two. Abu Jahl said, Abu Bakr Siddiq never said. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq never asked for a miracle. Even he was not a believer at that time, he never asked a miracle from Rasulullah. He was a Muslim. Hazrat Bilal didn't ask a miracle. Normally people who have asked, they even after being shown that miracle, they were still not on guidance. So Abu Jahl, these people of Hazrat Salih alayhi salam, even seeing the mountain trembling, live camel coming out, the moon split in two, many other things, people. Pharaoh also asked for many signs from Musa al-Islam. He said to Musa al-Islam, bring a sign. So his staff changed into serpent. There were other signs as a punishment sent. He didn't believe. So now as well I say to those people, that this not person becomes a kafir, but this mentality that Allah gives me first, then I will actually think about him. Shall I give him what he asked or not? This is not a good way. We as servants, we should, Allah SWT said, this is your responsibility. Now, man taqarraba minni shibran taqarrabtu minhu ziran. You come one step, one hand span closer to me, I will come one arm length closer to you. So the beginning should be from us, not from Allah. But rather, I would say, Allah has made the beginning already. He has taken not the first, but many steps. Isn't this a step to send his beloved messengers for guidance? Isn't this the greatest step? Who gives anyone's beloved to someone? Jise aap mahabbat karte hain, apne mahboob ko to kahi dusre ko nahi deta. You, if you love your wife, you are not ready actually to divorce her, someone and can marry? Because you love her. But Sahaba who loved Rasulullah sallam, and his Rasulullah sallam said that now you should help your brothers. Any Sahabi who had two wives, he said to his brother, you can look at both of them, whichever you like, you can actually tell me, I will divorce her, you can marry. This is the love of the Sahaba for Rasulullah sallam, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person who falls into love, he is very difficult to give up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the first great step that he is beloved Habibullah and Habibul Azam, he is Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave his most beloved being to us, actually to suffer for us. Isn't this enough step that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken? We are not willing to give our unlawful desires, unlawful wishes and unlawful actions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the greatest beloved. And second step, great step which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taken was the sending the Quran, the guidance, the wahi, he said. And the third greatest step was the existence of Sahaba through which the deen naturally is spread. And the fourth one is the existence of awliya and saliheen until the day of judgment. So look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now taken so many steps. Now it's our turn. If you won't take, you are not going to. Simply you won't get. Except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bless anyone out of his fazl. But these people are one in a million, one in a billion. Everyone does not get born like Isa al-Islam without a father. Everyone doesn't get certain things which happen abnormally as a miracle, or is there signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kudra. So to you actually what I am saying is that this thirst or this want, or you may call it love, you are going to build, other things inshallah will follow. And how it is going to come? One way is, I said, Rasulullah said to be with those people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or practice those amal which are prescribed by Allah. If you want to become most beloved of Rasulullah sallam, do remember him and follow him, you will come. And that's what he alayhi sallam said. He said the most closest person on the day of judgment will be the one who follows my sunnah the most, and the one who remembers me most by reciting durood and salam. Two things Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Main ye sabse mere kareeb hoga shakhs kaun ke jo amal uska meri sunnat ke mutabiq ho, aur zuban se wo kasrat se mera zikr, mera durood aur salam padhta ho. Ye banda sabse kareeb hoga mere sath qiyamah wale din. So the matter is very clear, but we are going to go to the methodology. And I said that a person should actually pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, and we also say, and wisdom in order to connect the people to his path. This is prayer. And I said guidance means knowledge, and wisdom means how to apply that knowledge. You have the best of arsenal, or you may say weaponry, but you don't know when to use it, when to shoot it. When the target goes away, then you shoot. So you might have the best gun of the world, which means you're not going to achieve your target. You are just preparing. They say that a gun which is at home is as though you don't have anything in the. It's no good. You can't tell the lion, my gun is in the home, in the jungle. It doesn't matter. So guidance is the weaponry which you will use. The knowledge is like the weapon. And hikmah, wisdom, is how to then convey to people, apply on people. So a person should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for both things. That is why you always find the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran about him is mentioned, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةُ. Now people are always confused about this. They say that if kitab is knowledge as well, hikmah, what is hikmah? The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I sent a messenger who will recite the verses of Quran, yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim, and will purify them, do their tazkiyah, wa yuallimuhumul kitab wal hikmah, and he will teach the book and hikmah, wisdom. Now what does it mean? Hikmah, book, is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran, And hikmah is how to apply that knowledge of Quran. So some people say it is hadith, that is true. But the real meaning which I am giving you, broader one, hikmah means how to apply that knowledge. So who knew most better how to apply Quran on your life than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So in that way, a person can say the sunnah is the wisdom. The hadith is the wisdom. But what is the underlying, which you should understand, is how to apply that knowledge. Yani Allah ne farmaya, maine Rasool bheja jo aap meri ayatein, meri nishaniyan padh ke sunata hai inko, inka tazkiya karta hai, aur inko kitab aur hikmat ki taleem deta hai. Kitab to ho gaya Allah ka ilm, Quran, wahi, jo bhi hadith bhi usi mein shamil, hadith bhi wahi mein shamil. تو کتاب سے مراد مثلا قرآن. تو حکمت کا مطلب کیا ہے کہ بھئی اس کتاب میں جو علم ہے اس پر عمل کیسے کرنا ہے اور دوسروں تک پہنچانا کیسے ہے, وہ بھی سب سے بہتر رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ہی کیا. تو اس لیے آپ جب مانگے بندوں سے, یہ نہیں کہ مجھے نالج, یو ریڈ اے بک اینڈ ورس آف قرآن اینڈ دین یو آر جسٹ ریسائٹنگ دس ورس ٹو پیپل اپروپریٹ وے اور اپروپریٹ سرکمسٹانسز اور ناٹ, دین دس ول بی اگینسٹ وزڈم. So knowledge is the weaponry and hikmah is how to use that weapon. Maybe a person who knows how to use, you give him a stick, he can actually fight with 10 people. And a person who has an atomic bomb, but he doesn't know how to use it, he might actually be himself finished with it. He has the most excellent weaponry, but he doesn't know how to use it. So, after reading a Salatul Hajat, person is asking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the knowledge, which is the weapon, and give me the wisdom through to apply how I can connect people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connect me with Allah azawajal. So this should be done once. And then it is said that one should start the process of initiation by the name of Allah. Always one should begin things with the name of Allah. So one should begin with the name of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should then recite Durood Sharif 3 times, because actually you are connected with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the guidance has come through him and the mercy of Allah descends. When the mercy of Allah is descending upon you, you will also be in a better position to talk with other people. Because it is guaranteed, Rasulullah said, "Man salla alayya marratan, whoever will send once durood upon me, Allah will send 10 mercies upon that person." So when a person have recited 3 times durood, alhamdulillah, 30 mercies he's showering on him. Now you are getting spiritually ready to talk, to give dawah to yourself and to others as well. Because you are having the spiritual backup. You asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, Salatul Hajat, alhamdulillah, you got the guidance of Allah. Now, mercy of Allah is showering. And when it is showering, maybe a few drops shower on the other person as well, who you are with. It can happen. And then, you should have this feeling and belief in the 3 keys which I taught you yesterday. The 3 keys of awareness, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught and reminded Hazrat Musa alayhi salam when he sent him to Pharaoh. Musa alayhi salam said, "Oh Allah, they will kill me, they are very evil people," and etc. other things which I mentioned yesterday. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inni ma'akuma, I am with you, both of you, I am with you." So first thing, Allah is with me. So these 3 keys which are used in Tariqa Muhammadiyya, they are not taken by any such scholar or anything, but they are taken from Rasulullah sallam, and even actually Rasulullah sallam took from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran is witness of it. Because the guidance in the Quran is the guidance of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The guidance of Quran is the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is his hidayat. Because he mentioned these teachings. So look, to give dawah to Pharaoh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending. He accepts it or not, that's different matter. We'll discuss after. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fasting, inni ma'akuma, I am with you. So he's reminding Hazrat Musa, Hazrat Harun, that you be in this state, that I am with you. Allah is with me. How is He with us? We don't know. I am not interested in that. That is the job of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is His sifa. This is a useless question, which Rasulullah SAW prohibited, like I said yesterday. Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, I read to you yesterday, he said that, leave me until I leave you. Meaning that don't ask about anything until I don't mention. Because you think Rasulullah don't know what we need, what is required. He said, leave me until I leave you. Don't ask about things. And he said, the previous people of previous Anbiya, they were destroyed because of they asking too many questions from Anbiya and differing regarding Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam as well. So he said, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave nasiha, if I say, what for you, what is the part for you in the deen? But if I say, don't do it, stop. If I say, do it, do it. That is your part. Your part is not to go back and discuss the reality of Allah, the reality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is not responsibility given to you. It's like a person who is taught, he says, I want to check my email and write simple letter. He is trained how to do it, how to check, turn the computer on, check his email, write a simple letter. But then this person phones the company. He said, really, I am in a problem because I've opened the back of the computer and the circuit, I can see it's different colors. I've taken few out. What are these things? He said, really, you really done a good job. Because you came and your responsibility and your purpose would have been served by just actually that you use the computer, you've checked your email, you've written a letter, printed it, sent. You have nothing to do with, no, the company has said that you should open the circuit board and see which resistors and which things are used and etc., etc. Then you are not charged with that. And you should feel happy about it. And a person who doesn't know anything about electronics, he must not actually do it at all. So similarly, the deen, one is the technical background and psychological and spiritual know-how. We are not charged with that. That job Rasulullah ﷺ has done for us. He has bore that difficulty. When Wahy used to reveal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا. That if we would have revealed this Quran on mountains, they would have actually also been smashed into pieces. Mountains. But Rasulullah SAW bore that difficulty for us. It was not easy. It was not easy to receive revelation. It was not easy. Well, Sahaba says in the very freezing temperature, Rasulullah SAW's sweat will flow in such a way like actually the rain is actually, has actually soaked him when the wahi used to come. And they used to say that if he, alayhi salatu wasalam, was sitting on a mount, on a camel, it would sit down. By force, it would have to sit down with the heaviness. Because the wahi connection with Allah, the greatest connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being revealed. It's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that mountains could not tolerate it. But Rasulullah SAW did tolerate it. So to us, Quran is not revealed. That's why we read very easily. So Prophet ﷺ would spread. One of the companions said that once I was sitting beside Rasulullah ﷺ and his knee was upon my knee or leg, and when revelation started coming, that it seemed that my knee will be crushed completely. And what would be the kafiyah of Prophet ﷺ through which he sweat heavily? But imagine the compassion of this messenger. And the compassion and rahmah of Rasulullah ﷺ and compassion upon Ummah, he in an entire life did not even once say that I bear this difficulty of wahi for my Ummah. He felt that the sweat was the witness that he was feeling, what he was feeling. The animals, the camel was witness, the others were witness. But not even once in the slightest way, Prophet ﷺ even reminded that look, how great responsibility I am taking and how great difficulty I am bearing for you. Mountains could not bear. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed that the mountains would not be able to tolerate it. But Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told, although he faced difficulty, but he did never mention to us. So if he has actually taken the hardest part for us, he has done it. Now, me and you, for Rasulullah said, you just utilize, like I'm giving you, you should be the user of the computer. If you want the technical know-how and things, then there is a way. You study to GCSE level, you study in the university, you become a high-level technician, then you will have an idea. So if you want to know something about deen, about sifat of Allah, then the way is not to sit here in the mosque and say, I want to know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on the first heaven. The way is actually to go and get admission into madrasa and study 10 years, and then come and ask this question, and then you will be sold something. About other things, you don't ask. You don't ask how atomic bomb is made for everyone. And nor actually, you ask, nor anyone is going to tell you as such. Because, and especially if you have not studied science. So, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught this methodology that unnecessary questions, unrelated questions, that don't ask, do what you are actually supposed to do and abstain from what you are supposed to be abstained from. That job is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah azza wa jal has sent to Rasulullah sallam. He understood, and for us is sufficient that he alayhi salatu wasalam has said something, and that's all. For us, for is enough. So to Hazrat Harun and Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Inni ma'ukuma, that I am with you both. How Allah, and we should consider it is, when we are giving da'wah. If you forget this matter, then you've lost the purpose. When yourself you are disconnected with Allah, how you are going to connect the other person? When this circuit of light is coming, you see, through the wire, and the circuit breaks from here, the wire breaks from here, this bulb is not working, how the others are going to work? If the candle, my candle is extinguished, and I am telling you, brothers, have you got a candle? I'll light your candle with this one. You see, your own candle is extinguished, there is no light, there is no flame, how are you going to do? So, hum jo in adab ke bagair, without the proper way, which Anbiya al-Islam and Awliya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught, when we give to ourselves or try to bring people to dawah, we are like doing like this. Our own candles are extinguished, apni mombatiyan buji hui hain, aur dusron keh rahe hain, bhai lao, main aapki bhi jala dun, aapki bhi jala dun. So, bewakoofi hoga jo aapke karega. And people are, also, that say, awam, kalanam, the most people actually, they don't know. They also say, okay, here we are. They don't see that his candle is light. But he khud bhi shariat par, sunnat par, aur Huzur al-Islam ke tariqe par amal kar raha hai ya nahi. They maybe are going after the voice. This person reads very good poetry in the speech. And that's your there. That has nothing to do with guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I did not teach poetry to my messenger. This is not higher status. وَمَا يَنْبَغِيلَ. And it doesn't suit the messenger of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why once Rasulullah said a couplet, a share, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said to Rasulullah sallam, on the principles of poetry, this word should be like that and this word should be like that. Only one ek share puri zindagi mein, aur wo bhi Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq ne farmaya, iska wazan is tarah hota hai. And Allah subhanahu said very clearly in the Quran, because there were many poets known, so, and they accused Rasulullah sallam of this, saying that he is a shair. He is a shair, he is a poet, but Allah subhanahu said he is not shair. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ الشَّاعِرِ. He is not a poet, no, this is what he says is the kalam of poetry. اور ہم اسی سے متاثر ہیں poetry سے, تو گناہ نہیں اس میں, لیکن آپ حضور علیہ السلام کے خطبات پڑھیں, آپ کو جو ہے سیدنا عبدالقادر جلانی کے خطبات پڑھیں, the teaching, the speech of سیدنا عبدالقادر, how much poetry you are going to find there. Yes, in the books they used to write sometime, Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi, but it's just to impress people reading you and not giving them the proper thing. Their own lights are extinguished, and these people who are sitting, they are extinguished, their candles extinguished, and they just think that everything is enlightened, and they say that, well, don't forget giving us what we came for, the real light, which is money. So a person should know that if this is the light of that person, then... And our Mashayikh say that like a wali is not in need of knowledge of deen from his disciples and his students, he is not similarly in need of money as well. He doesn't ask these things. He might starve. He might starve, but he would not actually... On the basis of deen that I am giving you dawah, on that basis you give me anything? No. But I mentioned yesterday, people should not get wrong message that they should start accusing their own ulama and aima of masajid that their earnings are lawful. They are teaching, they are muazzin, or someone is doing dawah, and you pay as your scholar, imam of the masjid to travel to different locality, pays expenses. That is different matter actually. But what I am talking about when giving dawah to Allah and asking them, then you lost the effect of dawah. Because in the Quran, in Surah Yasin, the wise man who said, follow messengers, ittabi'u malla yasulukum ajra. O people, follow the messengers, follow these people who don't ask you any return, any ajr, any wazifa, anything. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And second condition, that they themselves are guided people. Two conditions. That person himself should be on the right, straight path. Second, he should not be on an ego trip. You see, one is to get money, other is to get fame. These two are ajrs. Ajr is not only money. Ajr is fame, that I become famous. Say Subhanallah for me. Well, Rasulullah SAW did not ever say this to his Sahaba. We say that they were sitting like these birds are sitting on their heads. And like our people do naras, I think even animals, lions will run away. Humay log jidhar nare maarte ho to jangli janwar bhi bhaag jayenge, chidiyan to kya rahengi sar par. So best to be a student, best is like to learn from Sahaba or learn from the people of our time who are just after ego trip. So as I said, that their degrees, firstly they will say Subhanallah. That is, some are not happy on that, as I said yesterday. They say that our name should be given as well. Allah's name is given? No. Our name should be there as well. And the Mashayikh say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every person, he tells you the name of Allah until there are 2-3 of his followers. Until he don't have any big following, he will say, Allah is everything, Allah is the giver, Allah is the bestower. So as soon as he got 100, 200, 300, then he starts to bring himself. He say, I am something as well now. Main bhi kuch hoon. I am something as well. Mera bhi naam hona chahiye. Then he began to attribute, mere itne madrasse, mera jo hai, ye hai, mera ye hai. Firstly, he is mentioning greatness of Allah. But until he has his own party, then he says, now I fulfill that purpose, as though he has duped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'udhu billah, as he has deceived Allah, aise jaise usne dhoka de diya Allah ko, ke Allah ko istemal kiya, ke jab main wahan tak pahunch jaun, jab pahunch gaya, to Allah ko chhod diya. Goodbye, main nahi janta aap kaun hai, ab to main hu sab kuch. I am not. So these people, sometimes they they want to use their own name, and how they use, they will tell one or two disciples and students, aap yahan baithna, yahan baithna, aur nara maarna, jab main aise bayan karunga, mere naam ka nara bari. My name is mentioned. He's not happy on name of Allah subhanahu. There some people a lesser degree, wo subhanallah par happy hai. But though whose ego is more big, they say, Allah's name, it is not me, then my name should be given. Mera naam ho. So this is also ajr. Unhone kaha ke ittabiyo malla yas'alukum ajran wa hum muhtadun. Follow those anbiya, and even their true followers will be they won't be asking for their names and the glorification of them, their fame and money, and they themselves will be guided. So is tarah jo hai yani shuru karta hai banda da'wat ila Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Hazrat Harun and Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, know these three things. Inni ma'akuma, I am with you. This is like you are going to give da'wah, or you are giving da'wah to yourself. Apne aap ko bhi da'wah deni hai to yaad kara lo apne aap ko. Allah is with me. Because you are giving da'wah to yourself. Asma'u wa ara, I am listening, I am hearing and I am watching, I am seeing. Asma'u, main sun raha hoon, ye bhi jano main sun raha hoon, wa ara, aur main dekh raha hoon. Tum in teen khayalon ke saath Firaun ke paas jao. Ye rakho, keep these three keys in your mind. So that's why our mashayikh also, they emphasize so much, because these are the keys of awareness. Inse raste, darwaze jo hai, wo khulte hain. So, ye import, this is important, that you stay in the state of remembrance, state of awareness of the, if you are not state of remembrance, just remember these three keys. Allah is with me, He is hearing me, He is watching me. Stay in that state and then continue da'wah. Then continue da'wah, then inshallah, there will be benefit for you. Other person gets benefit or not is different matter. Firaun ne fayda uthaya, wo nahi. Because aapko bhi ajr o sawab nahi milega agar aap sahi nahi kare. You won't get reward as well. Because you are doing it in the wrong way. So, ye bahut ahem, it is very, very important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, meaning with all His qualities. He is, has kudra over everything. He is the provider of rizq. If you fear that person will stop my, he will cancel my job, well, Allah is with me, who is the actual provider. So when we say inni ma'akum, Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala said that witness is also referring to the Allah's sifat, that Allah with all of His sifat is with the person, all of His powers, His other grandeur and His qudra and His knowledge, the wisdom, that now everything I have, what is this person in need of now? He has Allah with him, Allah's quality with his, all His qualities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him. If he is true servant, what will he need now? Usko kya mutaji reh jati hai, kya usko baki reh jata hai, wo har cheez uske paas hai. Ab Allah, jaise Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani ne farmaya ki Allah ko pa liya to tumne sab kuch pa liya. Uske baad phir bande ko before the initiation actually and beginning, Allah ka naam yaad karna chahiye. Allah and who, that who Allah jis tarah hota hai wo three times, and ya aziz three times. Aziz means the one when who intends, nothing become an obstacle in between. Aziz usko kehte hain, us zaat ko, ki jab wo irada kar le to ab koi cheez rukawat nahi ban sakti. So it's as though a person is saying ya aziz, a person is calling that sifat of Allah, that oh Allah, let nothing be an obstacle, a veil between the guidance and this person. Not even myself, I am not fully your obedient, I am not fully connected, don't let me be obstacle as well. Ya Aziz is calling, O Allah, I am calling you the power of, by the power of Aziz, by the sifa of Aziz. And Aziz means the one when he intends to give someone guidance, no shaitan, no dunya, nothing can come in the way. Because Allah intends to do something. So a person, yaqeen, should actually go towards Allah Azza wa Jal, that if Allah will, this dunya, this love of dunya, love of children, love of fame and name, nothing can become an obstacle now. So a person is again reinforcing his power, his belief in the of Allah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was telling you a story someone told me yesterday during the iftari, that people believe, faith on Allah. People, they say people went to do a namaz of istisqa, which is for prayer for rain. It didn't rain. Second time they came, and during going there, someone asked a scholar, saintly person, that we prayed already once, and now we are going twice, and there's no rain, famine is still continuing. Why is that? He called a young man, and that young man was holding umbrella. And he called young man, he said to him, that scholar said to him, that why you are holding this umbrella? He said, I am holding this umbrella because we are going to pray for rain, and on the way back it will be raining. And that scholar said, that this kind of faith, when you have this umbrella, it will rain. But there is only one person, this young man with umbrella. We are without umbrellas, because we are not sure what Allah's mother is going to do. So Allah Azza wa Jal treats people according to what they think about Him and how they believe about Him. So Urdu mein bata do ke wo jo namaz istisqa, yani barish ke liye namaz padhne ke liye log gaye, barish nahi hui, dusri dafa aaye buzurg se kisi ne pucha, bhai ye barish kyun nahi ho rahi, hum to pehli dafa bhi aaye hain. To unhone ek naujawan bacche ko bulaya, chote ko, usse kaha ki ye jo tumne chhatri pakdi hui hai, chhatri leke ja rahe ho, ye kyun pakdi hui hai, ab to log bhook se mar rahe hain, kaat pada hua hai, tum chhatri leke phir rahe ho. Usne kaha, main isliye leke ja raha hoon ki main to pehli dafa hi aaya hoon, lekin isliye ki jab hum wapas aayenge to barish ho rahi hogi, to pehli chhatri leke. So this is the faith, this is the belief, and if you have this kind of belief, then Allah will treat you according to that. Some people fall into this trap. They think it is the belief which does the work, not Allah. وہ کہتے ہیں عقیدہ بندے کا یقین بڑا ہونا چاہیے کہ اللہ بڑا ہوں. یقین does. Many non-Muslims say it is the belief which actually makes things work. No, the belief doesn't make it work. It is that Allah deals with people according to what belief and how much they value Him, how much they have faith in Him. So for one person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do as He thinks. The others He won't do. He will saying the same thing, he will doing the same dua, he is doing the same prayer, nothing will be happening. And you don't see Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when the other said, Inna lamudrakoon, we have caught now by the Pharaoh and his army. Musa alayhi salam, Kalla inna ma'ayya rabbi. Verily not, never, never, my Lord is with me. You see, he said, Ma'ayya. He learned this lesson from Allah when He sent him to Pharaoh, that I am with you, O Harun and Musa. No, I am with you. Musa alayhi salam remembered this lesson all through his life in such a way that when the sea comes in the front, when the army comes, he again reminds himself with the same thing. Inna ma'iya rabbi. My Lord is with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then saved, made the mountain. If there were only these Bani Israel coming, I doubt that the sea will open. Because they already doubted that we are finished now. And they said so many other things which were not appropriate to Musa alayhi salam. So, Ya Aziz is the conviction that a person have on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if he will intend, if I can make, I can show humbleness, and Allah makes intent, the irada of hadayat of someone, then no literacy, knowledge, ignorance can not become an obstacle. Allah ne irada kar liya, phir aap jahil hain, Allah pak aapko ghosh basa sakte waqt ka. Wo khud ilm deenge aapko. He is going to give knowledge to himself, to you. You are not in need. If Allah doesn't will, then in spite of becoming a great scholar and study Islam like Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani did, still a person is misguided. Like the knowledge which shaitan have, a person is... So, firstly reciting three times Durood Sharif, but when you begin once Durood Sharif, Allah, who, three times, that is what you are doing. Ya Aziz, three times, and then Ya Ahad, three times. Ya Ahad, you're calling again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one and the only one. So you are again reminding that it's the only, I forgot now everything, it is between Allah and us now. Forgetting other things, Ahad. He is the one only. In front of Him, in presence of Him, no power, nothing actually that remains of anyone. He is the most superior. Ya Ahad. There is no one like Him. So when a person have that, then you should start to explain. Now the second part comes, Now you should try to develop the thirst in the person. And inshallah we'll mention tomorrow how to develop the thirst in you and other people. This is only the beginning. And we miss this part, which is the important part. Ye to hum karte nahi. Seedhi roti jo hai, tawa to garam kiya nahi, roti utha ke tawe pe dal di. Aur phir roti kharab ho gayi, ye ho gaya, wo ho gaya, uska maza hi nahi hai wagera. To pehle taiyari hoti hai. Every thing actually takes preparation. The ground needs preparation, land needs preparation, then you. And you see this building, it was prepared, preparation was made. First it could not be seen. The foundation cannot be seen now. But that was the actual thing which is standing on. So similarly, the people who you are giving dawah to, they can't see all these things what you've done. You read Salatul Hajar, you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pray, you prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and wisdom how to convey the message. You asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that person's heart tender, lenient toward guidance, to drive away the shaitan. You asked your help from Allah azza wa jal. Then now you remain in the presence of Allah, that Allah is with me, He is hearing me, He is watching me. And now you begin. This was how Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, on the path of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, how they did dawah. It's mentioned in the Quran and ahadith. Inshallah I will read you some of the ahadith tomorrow. Ab aapne koi baat puchni hai, if you want to ask anything, you can ask. Any question particularly related to the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, initiation? Because now there should be more and more people that you should be able to guide, should be able to initiate, should be able to invite others. It is not enough that you are yourself on the path and then you are happy and thinking everyone, your stomach is filled, you think everyone in the world has a full stomach. There are millions and millions of people who are empty stomach. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Wa alaykum assalam. Yes, this we are going to cover, inshallah, in the next few lessons. I am going to go to that, inshallah, very soon in the lesson. So there will be a full discourse on these matters, so inshallah. So, but briefly I would say that you, to give dawah to people, you need the basic level of aqidah and fiqh, that is sufficient. That's how the companions did. They didn't learn in detail. The Rasulullah said, I will teach you 100 lessons of aqidah. Jibreel would come and he would say, Mal imanu ya Rasulullah? What is iman? And Prophet Islam says, to believe in Allah, His Messenger, His books, a day of akhirah, the destiny, and day of judgment, and Islam. And Sahaba would immediately come Muslim and they will immediately go and give dawah to people. The day they will become Muslim, and they will say, Ya Rasulullah, what shall we do now? What is our job? Rasulullah said, would say that, your job is what my job. Kul hazihi sabili, this is my path. Ad'u ilallah, to invite towards Allah. Ala basirat ana wa man ittabani, me and actually. So Rasulullah taught them the basics and they went away. Now if a person want to teach like aqidah or scholarly, that is, you need different kind of knowledge. But that is not required for dawah, for to normal people. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Amen.
that once we ourselves think that we are on the path towards Allah and we're making an effort and we're making some sacrifices, then the next person that we should focus on our brothers, our sisters, and our own family?
Yes, mashallah, brothers have asked that if we are on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then who we should focus on. You see, the order is to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly said, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala read and with the name of your Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the next thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Now you warn the closest people to you, your relative, your family. So that's why the first, one of the first Muslim is Hazrat Khadija رضي الله تعالى عنها. She is one of the first Muslims. Amongst men or women, she is the first one. After Rasulullah sallam, the one who believed is Sayyidah Khadija رضي الله تعالى عنها. So the order is your family, and then your circle of friends, then your locality, then city, and then it goes beyond the world. A moment is the intention of guidance of all the world in jinnat and insan, because you will get reward according to that. You might not be able to guide one person, but you can get reward of thousands of people by doing intention. But there is one trap of shaitan in there. You should be aware of that. That is very important to know. There is one trap of shaitan which shaitan uses to stop people from doing dawah, and that is, if I have gone to my wife and my son, say, look, you spent my great deal of life with me, and I want now to you also be a companion with me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My son, you are born through me, now you should also go on this path. Believe and go on this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spend your life this. The trap is that if these people or brothers or families do not listen, shaitan normally puts in the person's mind, look, your own wife is not doing parda and hijab, and your own son is dancing in the disco. What is the use actually to give invitation to others? Now this is the wrong idea, wrong concept. That is not what Allah taught us. That is not what Anbiya al-Islam did and taught us. The tarteeb is that you give them dawah, your family, your friends, locality. If they don't accept, you move on to other people. You move on to other locality. You move on to other members, other society. And that's the way of Anbiya. Look, if Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam gave dawah, his own uncle and family members did not accept, he left them and actually went to other land. Rasulullah ﷺ gave dawah to Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl. They did not accept, Makkan people. He ﷺ went to Taif. He did not say, why shall I go to Taif? Because people will say, his own people have rejected him and he'll come to our city. What people will say this? So he ﷺ visited Taif, the surrounding villages. And even the Sahaba went to Habsha. So Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba did not say that if we go there and we give dawah, the king will say they've thrown you out. You yourself can't live even in your own village and city, and you come to my country to give dawah. They did not. They said we will go and spend time there. And the purpose was also to give dawah. So imagine the king Najashi, the Negus, he became Muslim. Najashi Musliman ho gaya. Wo usko hidayat pahunchni thi. He never met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically, but Prophet loved him so much that he prayed janaza while he was in Abyssinia. All the veils were removed. There were no Muslim others who could pray janaza for him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed janaza for him, because he sacrificed for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now look, extraordinary Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing for him. He sent gifts to Prophet ﷺ. He sent letter to Rasulullah ﷺ. But this was when these people, Muslims in Makkah, they left there. So they went to other country. Look at Prophet ﷺ himself. His own family members, some of them like Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, they did not believe. Hazrat Abu Talib did not believe in him for a long time. But his dawah, he continued with other people in the Makkah. And when, as a majority, these Meccan people did not accept, the majority of them, he even left the city. Well, if you're living in, let's say, Bolton, people are not listening, people are not benefiting, it doesn't mean that you should not go to other cities and give dawah. You should go and give dawah to them, maybe they will benefit. So Prophet ﷺ left Makkah and he went to Madinatul Munawwarah. So the order is that, yes, you, your closest members, friends, locality, city, country, whole of the world, whole of the jinnat, whole of the human beings, this should be the intention. Second is that one who does not listen, there are 100 people sitting here, for example, if they don't take, I take to the next one. They don't take, I take to the next one. They don't take, I take to the next one. It's like selling. You know, people sell things, they go on a door, and person, I don't want to buy what you are selling. It's good, but I don't want to buy. Does that come, person comes back to his house, then I forget them. Because if I go to the next door, he will say, the next door has not, I am not going to buy. No, he goes to the next door, he knocks with more passion, that I should try, that this person might have been. If he doesn't, he goes to the next door. He has nothing to do with he buys or not. He has made his mission that I am going to sell or convey this thing, message of selling to others. So like deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you move person to person, from city to city, from family to other families, then others should also know, they also become victim of shaitan. When I say, someone gives me dawah, I say, brother, your brother was in the club yesterday, and you are telling me, you have done actually wrong thing. Your wife does not listen to you, and you are giving me dawah. And this is wrong thing. You are helping shaitan, you are not helping your brother. Because if you say this, that you, your wife, and your children are not on the guidance and they should be, it's as though you are saying that this person have the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his hand. He could change his wife, he could change his children, and he did not. And the guidance in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you not see Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, his own son and his wife is not believe? Did he not invite other people? Not for a short time, he invited for 950 years. One day he did not say, oh Allah, look, my own family, my wife is not listening. These people, how will they will receive me or not? But he continued. Because we are on a mission. We are not interested in selling. We are not interested in any other thing. We are interested in the pleasure of Allah. If the pleasure of Allah comes through giving dawah, we are happy. If people, we always benefit. The people who don't benefit or benefit is the ones who you give dawah to. They suffer or they gain or lose. You don't lose. They gain or lose. You don't lose. You already have that reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for you it's the easy job. It's like a company who says that you go to 100 doors and sell this product and say that you want to, and we will give you money and commission according to as though you have sold this 200 people. £500 is your basic pay and £10 for every product you sell. You go to 100 door, we'll give you 1,000 and 500, 1,500. Wouldn't that person will be happy? Say, I only have to wander around and knock on the door. You want to buy? Be happy. Me, please. Don't become agitated. You want to buy this? Say, no. Okay, then goodbye. I'm going to the next one. But our people, they become agitated. Oh, despite this person has not accepted. And they begin to argue, and they become agitated. Oh, there's no use. Now I'm going in my own grave. Let them go to hell. Well, this has nothing to do with dawah. Your job was to just to go around. Your basic pay and commission is with say with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why you have to be concerned? You should be happy. Because the gainer or the losers are these people, not you. So Anbiya al-Islam did like this. So this is the way and some of the tricks which Shaitan uses, and we should actually be aware of that. Astaghfirullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith yesterday which I quoted, he said, follow my orders as best as you can. If your family member is living far away, you can send letters to them, you can send DVDs to them, you can send literature to them, you can speak on phone to them. Second thing which you ask, you are not in a good relation with them, so how you will give dawah? Well, then you have to prepare the ground for dawah. Then try, see why you don't have good relationship with them, or why they don't have good relationship. So the first step of dawah will be to restore those relationships. And forget the strains which you have caused on the relationship because of worldly reason. Because of the worldly reason, little bit of money, little bit of dawah. Our people are strained. That person, we went and he did not really prepare good food for us. We prepared samosa for him, but he didn't have no samosas when he went. We invited him for birthday, and he don't remember my birthday even. I said, do you know my birthday yesterday? He said, oh no, I don't. This type of grudge then they will keep in their heart. My baby was born and they did not congratulate me. This is the type of petty excuses and strains we prefer to. We are on a big mission. It's a matter of heaven and hell, and you are actually talking about this thing. A war is going on, bombs are being thrown on a country, and he is saying, the brother, I don't think my curtains color are matching with the carpet. Can you sell me shop? I said, no, I am not interested now. It's a matter of war, and war is going on. He said, okay, then I am upset with you. You are not going to tell me which shop sells good curtain. So it's like this, it's a matter of heaven and hell. Shaitans are making people victim. They are picking up people, throwing into the hell as though. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the doors for paradise in Ramadan. And otherwise people have option to go to hell and paradise. And we are again engaged in these petty excuses. That I gave this suit to this person and this person did not return. These you will forget. Completely you are going to forget. As soon as you see Israel, or that side Israel, you have a pain in the heart. Some people think it's a heart attack. And they become so pious instantly. And they can do Tawbah in 1 minute. But they should know that death is even closer to than heart attack. Many people are saved when they have a heart attack. But when death comes, no one gets saved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا wherever you will be, يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ the death will get you. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا even if you are in iron castles and iron forts, the death is going to approach you. So the way to actually remove these strains is to forget what they have done wrong, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. He did not say that this person, yes, I remember you actually threw a stone at me, and now I have become victorious in Makkah, I'm really going to punish you. No. When all people who have done wrong to Rasulullah sallam, they divorced his daughters, one of them, and they tortured him so much, they tried to disgrace him so much, and gave him so bad titles, but he said only one word, La tasarib alaykum al-yawm. Today there is no bothering, no sin, nothing upon you. You are all forgiven. I say the same thing what Hazrat Yusuf said to his brothers, and they are all. And because of that, hundreds and hundreds of people came into the fold of Islam. So when you will forget your worldly reason, these strains and these disputes and disagreements, and then inshallah you are paving the way to give the message to them. So for you, if you have, you owe them £5,000, or you disputed about a piece of land with them, or with the dawat of kebabs with them, and then you knock and then send a letter that the brother, I really want to invite you to paradise. And they will double think that this person was not giving me worldly clothes, and he was disputing on suits and birthday gifts, and he wants to give me paradise. This sounds a little bit dodgy. He's not going to accept. So on one side, the person who is giving dawa, he is saying, I want to give you Jannah. And on the other side, he is picking pockets and with a little bit of nitty-gritty, actually, that person didn't give me a good look. He didn't shake my hand very well. He didn't answer my salam very well. These things should be actually irrelevant, because you have a greater purpose, greater danger, greater benefit in front of you. So if there's a strain, you try your best. If they don't respond, you fulfill your responsibility. Then they will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dawa means invitation. Someone has asked a question. The dawa is only for non-Muslims. And what does dawa really mean? So that person, I think, have misunderstood what dawa is. Firstly, he should know that all the Quran is dawa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll find so many verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. There are other verses like saying, Ya ayyuhannas, O people. But many of the verses of the Quran says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, dukhulu fis silmi kafa. O believers, come here. O believers, do this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving dawah to believers. And what do you think when Rasulullah s.a.w. gave khutbah in Masjid Nabvi, with kuffar were sitting in front of him, or at least the sahaba were sitting in front of him? So this is wrong idea. Dawa is for all people, jinnat, human being, Muslim, non-Muslims, to all people. Even it's found in the stories of Sahaba, they even gave dawa to animals. Janwaron ko bhi unhone daawat di hai. Hazrat Abu Darda radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was on his deathbed, he said to his own camels, fear Allah, I have tried my best to fulfill your rights, so don't claim anything against me or say anything if you want now. The right of people, the right of creation is such a high. There's such a companion, and his deathbed is addressing his own animals, his own camels, and saying that I don't want you to have complain against me on the day of judgment. I have fulfilled as much as I could. If not, you should say. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.